Let's
Blog
do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh oh. Oh yeah. Oh, we got a show for you today. It's Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rohn, and a crew coming to you live. Capturing minds, hearts, souls, thinking, and belief. And all you got to do is plug in. Oh, we got a show today. Dr. Bruce, Dr. Roger, Brother George, and much, much more. Tell a friend, it's family time. There is no, no better love. There is no greater love. There's no better love than for self and kind. That's the reason for African American Empowerment. African American Empowerment Saturday, where we do the work of working on ourselves. At least we can at least reflect on the work that we need to do if we're not in a position to actually do it. But I believe, I truly believe that we can get that work done. How can we do it? It's the pillars of empowerment through the peace concept. And we need peace in our communities. We need peace of mind. We need some mental health. We need a whole lot. But how do we have a comprehensive process of being able to negotiate the system that we're in? Politics, a political agenda. That is P. I'm spelling out peace. I'm going to do it every week until we get it, because it's going to hit. Somebody's going to say, you know what? Brother Marvin was right. If we did these things, things would get better. Here we go. We need a political agenda wherever we are. You know, the elections are coming up in many states, or in every state there are going to be some elections. How are you going to announce? Well, let me stop. A lot of our people don't believe in voting, but we live in this system. And if you live in this system, you're going to have to learn how to negotiate the system in order to get it to work for you as much as possible. I would rather use the benefits of the system, me personally, than to not use it at all. Because guess what? You need resources, which is the E. You need an economic platform and an economic agenda using politics to do that. We got to understand capitalism and the format and the platform that they're using to work that system as best as they can for what it is that they are trying to achieve within this system. How do we do it? We need an economic agenda. We need money, y'all. I'm sorry, we do. You better get your money straight, and then we can develop those institutions that we need to define and redefine our own reality to help our kids and our people get jobs, opportunities, and employment while we're here. Until we go somewhere else, we need a strategy. We need a game plan, and we're going to have to mobilize our efforts together to be able to achieve some things collectively. Then there's the A. Do you have your A together? That's your athletics, your health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to have your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, your social health, your cultural health together. You got to have it together, brothers and sisters. If you're not doing that, then guess what? You need to get on board to make sure your health and wellness is intact, that you're doing the things that you need to do to maintain your health and longevity. We need you. But we need you all together. That's the platform you need to get a health and wellness agenda. We all do as African Americans, because you know disparities are plaguing us, and we need to get that together. But then as you see, relevant cultural programs like the one we have now and many, many more like Dr. Rogers and Dr. Bruce and all the things that we have going on, we got to be able to put that cultural program together so that we can collectively educate our people. How are we going to do it? We can do it culturally. We have the ingredients. All we need to do is bake that cake together, put those pieces together. And then education, a comprehensive education. That's right, a comprehensive education to educate our people, to get us back on track, to give us the confidence that we need, the tools that we need, and the strategies that we need to be successful in this reality and in this country. So stay in Mac in a moment. Hey, be right back.
Stan,
the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Oh, boy. Y'all know we need it. If you're listening to me right now, you know we need it. We need institutions desperately that define our own reality. We need employment. We need opportunities, and we're going to have to create those opportunities for ourselves. The work needs to be done, right? We need to get up to par and up to speed really quickly to get that work done, and we got to get our minds and our hearts right to do the work for each other. We have to do the work, y'all. We just do, and somebody has to ring the bell and say, hey, let's work collectively together to get these things done. What are the tools and the strategies are we going to use to work collectively to get what we need to get done? And how can we use those institutions to define our own realities and give our people what they need? And guess what? It's a Willie Lynch Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. You know how I'm doing it. Oh, yeah. Brother George. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fine, brother. All praise due to Allah. How are you doing?
We're fine, man. I've been waiting all week for this. You know, we had a whole lot going on. We got a whole lot going on in the country and a whole lot of thoughts and ideas going around. But I've been waiting for this Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. What you got, brother?
All right. Well, today, our Kwanzaa principle from the Nguza Saba is Kumba, which is creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Kumba, depicting a snake climbing a rafa palm. This symbol represents ingenuity, excellence, and performance of great feats. Observing the most ordinary details of nature has inspired poets, musicians, philosophers, and scientists to make wonderful creations, inventions, and discoveries. We too can be inspired to new ways of thinking simply by paying attention to the natural world around us. Well, you know I love Dr. Bridges' lecture on the natural creation. I will always love it. Now, today, I'm going to read from a book that it's a children's book, and I think it's a great children's book, and we need to include these type things in our libraries for our children. And this is Black Women in Science. And it's written by a sister named Kimberly Brown Pelham, PhD. Now, the sister that that I'm going to talk about today briefly is a sister named Bessie Coleman. She was born, she lived from 1892 to 1934. Bessie Coleman's mastery of mechanics, technology, and aviation fueled her quest to empower African Americans in the air and on the ground. Bessie was the first Black woman with a pilot's license, and she used her talent and popularity as an aviatrix stunt performer to create change. Although she only lived to be 34 years old, her crowd-stirring flights, international merit awards, and deep desire to teach others firmly set her legacy as a pioneer who flew above barriers. Bessie was born on January 26, 1892 in Atlanta, Texas, one of 13 children. Like many poor Black families at the time, hers picked cotton to get by. Her mother made sure the children took advantage of a traveling library that stopped in town a few times a year. Because of this, Bessie read often and developed a big imagination. She finished high school and even went to college, which was rare for most Americans during the early 1900s. Now, what amazes me the most about this sister's life is that she only lived for 34 years and she accomplished so much in that amount of time. And many of us, you know, are 50 years old and haven't hit square one, you know. But for some reason, our people in the past had a greater desire to accomplish and to use our imagination to improve ourselves and to improve our people. And so I just wanted to use her as an example, Bessie Coleman. So it's back to you, brother.
See, Brother George, that's what I like about you, right? And that's a part of the peace concept. It's about education, right? And again, you just brought one in, right? I didn't know about her. So guess what? Again, the African American Empowerment Association is about education, not only about politics, but about education, about commitment to our people. We got to get that work done. Thank you, Brother George, on that. Now, I have a question for you. As we get into this next segment, right, there's a lot going on in the country right now, and there's some serious questions that we need to have a dialogue about. And the dialogue has to do with some comments or even not necessarily – I didn't see it, so I'm asking you first, and then we'll talk about – oh, let me say this first. We got Dr. Bruce and Dr. Rogers on deck today. The question that we're going to ask first is, there are some issues with Kyrie Irving, right, about a tweet that he put out there that's got everybody riled up in certain communities, and everybody's chiming in on it. So guess what? Kyrie is in our family. He's our brother, right? How in the world do we get to positions like this, and what do you think we need to do in terms of that? But not only that, how do we begin to change our people's minds, right, to change our collective beliefs about what other people are saying about us that may or may not be true? What you think, brother?
Well, I don't want to take a lot of time because I'm anxious to hear the responses from the two doctors. But when you start trying to address the lie, the big lie that's been told in the past, you're going to run into opposition because the foundation of their world exists on those lies. And so as the lies are revealed, then the foundation begins to crumble with their so-called racial superiority. And it's a number of big lies that's been told out there. It ain't just the one about the election, but it's a lot of big lies that have been told. And as our people find out the truth and are courageous enough to present that truth to the world, then they're going to pay a price for it. And so that's what's happened to Kyrie Irving. He was suspended for 5 games. And I didn't see the clip, you know. It was sent to me by Brother Patrick, and I didn't look at it immediately because I have to learn to look at some things immediately that he sends me. But I did have the clip, and when I went to go to it, it had been deleted, you know, from their platform, so I couldn't view it. But that's my views on that, brother. You know, when you start exposing a big lie, you know, like George G.M. James wrote Stolen Legacy and ended up getting hit by a car on the campus where he taught as a professor, and it killed, you know, after he wrote that book. So that's my response, brother.
All right, brother. Well, we know that we have heard that Kyrie was suspended for tweeting a link about an anti-Semitic film, and I actually watched the film last night. You got to get it. At least our people should watch it, right? Look at it and judge for yourself, right? And I think this Black Hebrew Israelite movement, right, and their beliefs are ruffling some feathers, right? You got to look for yourself, and then you can decide. But I think, again, as we look at the system and how it works, if you don't do some things that they're in agreement with, you get shut down. That's all I'm saying. Let's go over to the to the lines with Dr. Bruce. But before we do that and get Dr. Rogers in here, if you want to join the show today, right, get involved, brothers and sisters. We're offering an opportunity for you to comment as we go along using Slido. It's slido.com. The number for today's show, slido.com, is 596552. 597-6552. You can chime in. You can put your comments or thoughts as we go along. And if you got something that you want to share, right, some people don't like talking on the line. So we're creating opportunities where we can still dialogue, but we want you to get involved because we need to hear from you. Because without you, right, we're just talking into thin air. So we need you to get involved. So if you're not directly on the line but you're listening, because we know you are, just chime in. Slido.com. Put in the number, 59552, and then just type right in your comment, and we'll look at the comments, and then we'll chime in and say, hey, this is the comment that we got. So we need you today, 59765 52 on Slido. And now, let's get Dr. Bruce in here. Dr. Bruce.
Unmuted.
Welcome to the show. All right.
All right, brother. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, for giving me the opportunity to share what I might have in my head with some of my brothers and sisters who are interested in learning. So thank you very much.
All right. We don't have Dr. Rogers in right now.
Oh, that's okay. I'm here.
I have him on deck.
Yeah, he should be coming, I guess. Yeah, good comments too by Brother George, and the brothers who normally call in. I have some brothers I have spoken to earlier today that are going to make some good comments, and they probably on your call in board. So this should be a good program today. But one point that I want to make, and that is to our listeners, and that is when we start talking about this whole Jewish and Semitic thing, we have to understand, again, where history is important. And when we know and understand history, the people who are inhabiting the land today that we call Israel over in the so-called Middle East, these people are not the original Hebrews. These people are people who were misplaced out of Germany and Hungary and some of those other Eastern European nations that went into the so-called Middle East, took control of the land, displaced the people, took their identity, and are now claiming themselves to be Jews and to be the original inhabitants of that particular part of the earth. And the whole Jewish state was not even conceived until the year 1948. When they went there and took the land and began to control that whole area. So just briefly, I want to give that information and also to urge our listeners to study and read and to just go and find out about the history of Israel and look at how these people who have Kyrie Irving and who have Whoopi Goldberg and who have Kanye West bowing down to them and several others over the years that we'll probably talk about today, we need to understand what's really going on here. So historically, these people are not the original Hebrews of this earth. The original Hebrews are people of color, dark-skinned people. And we look at that particular information, just to give you one source, there are many sources. There's a book called We the Black Jews by Dr. Yusef Ben-Yochanan, We the Black Jews, which a person can study to get this information. There's also another book by Rudolf Winsdor, W-I-N-D-S-O-R, Rudolf Winsdor, W-I-N-D-S-O-R, Rudolf Winsdor, W-I-N-D-S-O-R, Rudolf Winsdor, called From Babylon to Timbuktu, From Babylon to Timbuktu. And I'm repeating myself just so some of our listeners can tune in and, I mean, can get pencil and paper, whatever they need to do, or write it on their pads. But Babylon to Timbuktu by Rudolf Winsdor, the Philadelphia-born and raised Hebrew scholar and Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan. And then within those two books, there are other sources that a person can reference to get more information, because most of our people don't have the background. And there's a brother who is probably on the line, the 768 number, and I think he's seen the video that you've seen, and he talked to me about it before the program. I said, man, don't talk to me now. Let's talk about it on the program. So he can add to that, too, in terms of this whole Jewish issue. But it comes down to the fact that when you know and understand history, then you will know where you fit into it and know what to say and what not to say and know who you are as a person or as a people on this earth. And also, I was watching a documentary on Calvin Lockhart. Calvin Lockhart, to those who may not know, was a brother who played in many television programs. His last program, I think, was Coming to America what's the brother's name? Coming to America, Brother Marvin. Coming to America. Come on now. What's his name? The comedian.
Eddie Murphy.
Right, thank you, Eddie Murphy. Right, he played in that movie, but also Calvin Lockhart, probably more well-known, starred in From Cotton Comes to Harlem with Red Fox and Richard Pryor and some other people, maybe not Richard Pryor, but Cotton Comes to Harlem. He was a star. He played the part of Deco Maddie, also Uptown Saturday Night, and Let's Do It Again with Harry Belafonte and Bill Cosby, and also with Sidney Poitier. So I read where he took a stand in Hollywood, and that's why he was not able to get as many parts as he would have gotten on the Hollywood scene had he not been outspoken and had he not demanded respect of black actors and given black actors less than the stereotypical roles. He would have gotten more parts. And so when you begin to stand up, you have to understand that you are going to, as Brother Joyce said, be chastised for your stand. And Calvin Lockhart is a good example of that. And he made a statement on the documentary that I saw about him that we think sometimes that we're independent. And I'm using this in reference to Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Durant, Seth Curry, in the football arena, all the Mahomes, whoever they may be. We think that because we have money and have a big home and about 25 cars and gold teeth and gold chains around our necks and we have record contracts, we think that because we have that, we are really independent people. But Calvin Lockhart made a good point, and I'll end with this. He said that whenever you are working for somebody and somebody else pulls your purse strings, then you may have money, but you're still just working for somebody. You're still not an independent person. You may dribble a basketball and can shoot threes and you can slam dunk and you have cars and you have clothes and you have bling bling, but what do you actually own in terms of owning yourself? And Calvin Lockhart said that these people really don't own themselves. And that's the case with Kanye West, case with Kyrie Irving, and any other people who are still working for Nike, Adidas, or whether you're working for the NBA or the NFL, you're still working for somebody. And that's what we need to understand as people. We're not independent people at all. So I'm going to give somebody else a chance, brother, but I did want to start off with that comment just to give a little background.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. I'm going to bring Dr. Rogers in. Dr. Rogers, are you there?
Yes, indeed. Yes,
I'll keep you live on the line as well.
Yeah, you've got a bad
Dr. Bruce.
Rainstorm.
We've okay,
got
I'm
a bad rainstorm here. And that's where it knocked off the internet.
Oh, that's what happened to you, huh, Doc?
Yeah, it's a very bad storm here, real bad.
Okay.
So, but anyway,
all right.
It's better now. It looks like it's better.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Rogers. And I want to, again, I'll just make this quick announcement before we get into the discussion. All right, we're using Slido as a way to communicate. All right, get involved, listeners. I know y'all out there online. Right, Slido.com. Put in the number 5976552, and you can have your comments made or your statements made as well, and we can get those and then bring them back to the doctors. Okay, so real quick, we have two preeminent historians. And here's my question before we get started. How can we utilize in this current time history or our past, right, to contribute to the process of reaching our people now? How can we use history and the things that we know, right, to contribute to how we can reach the minds of our people? We talk about recapturing the African mind. How do we recapture those minds? But how can we use history? And how can we use men like you, your historians that have done the work to help recapture the minds of our people? I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Bruce.
I like that question. Well, did you want me to?
Oh, all right. I'll just go ahead and concede now to Dr. Rogers, since I've already spoken, Brother Marvin, and I'll come back in.
Oh, the thing that I have found as a historian, and understanding what empowers me from history, because see, I'm empowered by history. It's not just a feel good empowerment. When I see when people like Martin Delaney, and when I look at some of those brothers back in the 18th century and 19th century, what they were doing, when I look at the writings that from that period of time, it empowers me that why am I complaining and just seem to take such a dismal viewpoint of our people and the growth and where we have to go. So the first thing you got to do is you got to read it. You got to get into it, and you got to study it, just like you do anything. You can't expect the doctor to go in and take out somebody's heart and lay it on the table. He had read about it in depth and experiment, and as well as studied it from all kind of different angles. And so a lot of times that's our problem, is that we are not looking at it, you're not reading it, you're not analyzing it, like what happened here on Black empowerment. That's why I guess it's called empowerment. We are looking at things yin and yang, up and down, crisscross, you know, whatever it takes to understand historical movement. As long as it has been since the Garvey movement has existed in America, we really don't understand Marcus Garvey. Because if we did, we'd be following it. Because you'll know that it works. But we don't know. We haven't read it. We haven't followed it in the depth and looked at it with depth in the way it has. That Garvey, the Uniah Creed, that is the Bible. That is a Bible for African people. And anybody who's read it, you know that. As they map that idea out to put the Uniah movement in place. So in answering your question, Brother Marvin, it's more than just watching some documentary or going on YouTube like that, or looking at some movie on Netflix about history, you know, and you figure you watch it, you know what Madam C.J. Walker was all about. No, you don't. Because that mess on Netflix, that wasn't the life and times of Madam T.J. Walker. There was so much more to her than that. It's unbelievable. So following in the spirit of what you're doing, Brother Marvin, empowerment. Empowerment means take on a topic, take on an initiative, and dwell into it with serious energy. Serious energy and motivation. And objective, and looking forward to come out with something that you can use that's teachable, and that you can teach. Unfortunately, we'll be getting in schools. That's not history. I love Woodson. You know that. We've been talking about Woodson for a long time, and looking at his history, we still don't understand that. You know, I mean, and looking at it that way, you got to go deep into who Woodson was and what he was trying to do. And understanding each part of it. Yeah, I remember we started off that discussion before.
I remember Dr. Bridges started off by telling you that Carter Woodson used to go to the little restaurant down in Kentucky in the morning and read the paper to the coal miners. Now, but in order to really understand that, you got to delve into that a little deeper. You got to ask yourself some questions, ask some historical questions. Why did he do that? You know, I mean, maybe they couldn't read. I know that, but why the newspaper? Why did he read the Bible to them or something like that? Or, you know, some crazy question like that. But the idea is that there's a reason that he sat there and read the paper to those coal miners in Kentucky, and then later on took a whole movement of people and did the same thing and created his own news mechanisms. That's the Journal of Negro History, the Journal of African Studies. They just had a convention in Montgomery, Alabama, of Woodson's work. And unfortunately, it wasn't what I, as a historian and one who had studied Woodson and one who had taught history for the years that I taught, would like to have seen. It was aristocratic. It was kind of a thing about I'm smarter than you, you know, kind of stuff. And Dr. Bridges and I talked about it. We went over the journal, looked at some of the topics that they talked about, and it was definitely a very watered down version of
that's right.
Your power
and you know
history.
And you know,
so yeah, go right ahead, Dr. Bridges, jump right in.
Oh yeah, I was just about to say, and you reminded me of something when you were talking about YouTube and these documentaries that we see and some of the other things maybe in social media that we use. But we have to, and you made me think about it when you said and use that good example you use of a surgeon taking out the heart of a human being and laying it on the table. He may take that heart out, but as you said before, he studied the history of cardiology. He studied the movement of the blood throughout the bodies. He studied the arteries and the ventricles and all systems of the human body before he could even make that move. And what it reminded me of is the fact that our ancient ancestors of the past, to put it into physical terms and somewhat medical terms, or nutritional terms, which you made me think of when you use it, put it into medical terms. When you look at our ancient ancestors, they fed. And when I say fed, in this case, I want our listeners to understand. I'm not talking about when they fed on potatoes and squash and blackberries and other things, but when they fed mentally on the natural environment that was around them, and I hope they're listening to me now. Hope our people are tuning in. When they fed on the sun rising in the morning, when they fed on the Nile River as it overflowed at a certain time and a certain pattern throughout the year, as they fed on the flowers blooming and fed on this natural creation mentally, this actually caused them to develop spiritually, from the mental to the spiritual, because they were close to nature and they fed on what was already around them in the creation. They fed on it mentally. I don't mean eating it, putting it into their mouths, but in this case, we're looking at the head or the brain of the human being as a mouth, and the natural creation is what they're feeding into their brains, you see. And I hope people tuned in with me today, Brother Marvin, because I'm really thinking about this. And when they fed on this, then they became very intelligent human beings. But they first of all fed mentally, and then they fed spiritually. And moreover, the other things that they began to learn, such I'm going back to your YouTubes and your social media, those can become supplements to the study of history.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with it. But as your doctor always tells you, they say have a good diet, but you can supplement it with this pill of zinc, with this pill of vitamin D or vitamin A. These are called supplements. And the supplement is not the main thing, but the main thing is what you feed on mentally yourself, and then you use YouTube, then you use the documentaries, then you use the lectures to supplement what you learn and study on your own in the same way that you supplement with physical vitamins and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So the study of history is basic.
Dr. Bridges,
you see,
you know, you're right, and you know, history validates what you're saying. It does. It validates your thing, because if you go back, if you think about it, let's go back a little bit. Let's look at early anatomy, science, medicine, and things like that. All of the symbols of early medicine and science is something out of nature.
That's exactly right.
You know, you look at the medicinal symbol as a pole with two snakes wrapping around that pole, and at the top of the pole is a head like thing, like a circle. Now, tell me, what has that got to do with medicine?
That's right.
Has something to do with nature.
And that's the caduceus, you're talking about.
Yeah, the men and women who study that are studying it out of nature. Those snakes, as you said, what does a snake got to do with medicine? You know, and it has a lot to do. And people that used it and were trying to study how to study medicine were talking about the nervous system.
That's exactly right.
And you're looking at that ball up there, that whole thing, that's medulla oblongata kind of thing.
Right, right, the brain, that medulla oblongata, that's right.
Yes, that's right. That's what that's represented. And the energy of all of that is incorporates the whole human body. And healness, wellness, life, longevity, all has to do with the energy coming from those two snakes, which are representative of the spiritual and the physical energy of the planet.
That's exactly right.
That round ball that makes you move and do things that you need to do.
And you know that's.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your point. I just thought about something else. Go ahead.
And that's it. So yeah, and then you go all the way down into even to medicine. They study the pharmaceutical work. It's based off of a lot of times watching plants and roots and stuff like that grow and function. It's a variable. When Thomas Jefferson sent Lewis and Clark on that journey up to the United States, he didn't just go up there to tell them to come back and tell them what the Indians were like. That's not what he was doing. He wanted to know what is the fauna. Check the fauna system, you know, of the earth. Let's look at how that operates. He wanted to do something in the same sense.
And the flora. He wanted to check the fauna and the flora, the plants and the animals.
Right. See how that operated together. Just the same thing that the white boy did on the beagle. You know, when he got on the beagle, he's looking to try to find something that can explain human behavior that they could use and come back and conquer the world. And didn't they do that with it?
That's exactly right.
The survival of the fittest. That's what it was called, the survival of the fittest.
And so this is why it's amazing. And that's right. And this is why, as you said, Dr. Rogers, it's important that we study history, and I'm trying to think of who said it. Marcus Garvey. He made the statement that you must study history, and he used the word incessantly, incessantly. He said you must study history incessantly or keenly and real and very closely, try to put a microscope on it and to study it intricately and find as much out about history as you can, and then these other things that you mentioned that you made me think of that we do on the side, these only become supplements to the text. As preachers say sometimes, we might have the Bible, but we got a supplementary text here, you see. So it's just so much. And the knowledge is beautiful, too, as we begin to understand it. And it reminded me, I kind of wanted to go back to Brother Akabalon last week, and when you all were talking about images, I wanted to mention that there's a good song, and I wish we could find it. Maybe we can find it one week, Brother Marvin, by a brother by the name of Wali Ali. And he wrote and performed a song called Images, and he was a follower of Wallace D. Muhammad. And that song, Images, it starts off with the words that say he wrote it and he performed it. It starts off and it says, I sit in church, yet I don't understand why we pray to a Caucasian man. His hair is blonde and his eyes are blue. Daddy, he just doesn't look like you. They say his name is Jesus, you see, but it doesn't even look like me. Now I know why I feel so low. He looks just like the slave masters of long ago. What is this image I see? What is it saying? So I just wanted to mention that. That's something good for maybe some of our listeners to pull up online. Wali, W-A-L-I, Wali, W-A-L-I, Ali, A-L-I, just like Muhammad Ali. Wali Ali, and his song was called Images. And I just happened to think about that, Brother Marvin.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, yeah, so Marvin, that's, until we put that kind of intensity into our studies, into our history, it will never be able to empower you because you won't be able to let the energy, let that energy come down in you and jar you into action and to make you build institutions like our ancestors built. I'm going tomorrow to a school that was started by a black woman. She didn't have but $1.50 in her pocket.
Must be Mary McLeod.
Mary McLeod, we can get it tomorrow at Bethune-Cookman College. And and I'm really excited about that. And they have championed her and created a nice archival system of her work and what she did and her sincerity of things. That's got to empower you. Somewhere you got to sit down and say, man, I can do this too. You don't need to write a grant to the Ford Foundation to build a school for your children. That's not what it takes. You just got to be empowered. But you got to go in and understand what it was. How many of those raggedy, shaggedy-looking buildings do we know now in our neighborhoods? They be walking up and down the street and see, why can't we go in there and say, man, how much you want for this building? I'm going to start a school, Saturday school. Things like that is what can start. And I mean, some people are doing it. I'm not saying that everybody is doing it. There are people doing it. I think one of the very best examples, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nation of Islam, and what they do and how they do things. They do it raw, natural. When I lived in New York, and I lived up there, 116th Street, Lenox Avenue, and they had bought out a lot of those stores that used to be liquor stores and Jewish shops that sold junk. They bought them out and turned into a whole franchise called Steak and Tape. And they were making steak sandwiches like they do in Philadelphia. Steak and Tape, and they did well. And then they followed the tradition. There's another little thing like that. These were businesses that are owned and operated by people. There used to be another little powerful business entity like that in New York City that moved people called Little Jim's Fish and Chips. You go in there and pay 25 cents with your brown paper bag full of greasy french fries, but they were healthy in a way that they did it, and a couple of pieces of fish in there. 25 cents, I remember that. Never forget it. But idealism like that and empowerment is what drove people into doing things like that. Because, see, when the time gets tough and things come at you like that, and they will, that'll keep you going. That'll keep you fighting. That'll keep you moving. That's what kept Booker T moving. You know, don't think that when he walked up into Tuskegee, it was all peaches and cream. Yes, that's true. And I mean, I have some issues with Booker T on some things, but I can't knock the brother because he didn't let nothing turn him around. And he kept going. And the rest of those George Washington Carver. He didn't have an IBM laboratory at Tuskegee. He had a rinky-dink little thing. There are pictures of it at his museum, the Carver Museum at Tuskegee, in the campus of Tuskegee. There's pictures of what Carver's laboratory used to look like. And you see it, you might not want to go in there because you think it's going to blow up, you know, because it looked antiquated. But look at what happened. Look at the empowerment we get out of that and watching. So don't think everything was peaches and cream. It wasn't. You know, these folks had to struggle big time. A lot of us we struggled through the schools that we went to. They were brick and nice, pretty schools, but they wasn't. We didn't have no biology labs at Lyon Park in the West End. We didn't have that. We had microscopes in the class. One microscope. And we used to fight all the guys. We wanted to watch the frogs when they start dissecting frogs. We wanted to do that, and so we'd be fighting to get to the microscope first because we didn't have a one. And so, but the way it went, a lot of people may have come out of there and gone into medicine or whatever the case may be. So, Brother Miles, I hope that kind of touches what you wanted to get out of that question. And if not, then maybe you go back in and get a little deeper.
Brother Marvin? Is he still with us? Brother George, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I was just reading while Dr. Rogers was talking to before you might want to go to your phone line. But I'm just looking at this thing that came across my other phone, and some people may have know about it and may call in and respond to it. But this whole thing with this Jewish thing, it's just really something else. And I see here, I had mentioned to a brother this morning about how I hadn't heard LeBron James say anything about it one way or the other. And now I happen to pull up something from the newspaper here about LeBron James finally addressed the Kyrie Irving situation. And it says that James, who has quickly spoken out many times on various race-related controversies, finally got around to addressing the Irving situation after days of silence. And then this is, and I know most people probably know this, I don't know, but it just came across my news on my cell phone, and it says, and I'm quoting LeBron James here, "He caused some harm, and I think it's unfortunate," James said to reporters. I'm quoting James again, "but I don't stand on the position to harm people when it comes to your voice or your platform or anything. So it doesn't matter what color your skin is, how tall you are, what position you're in, if you're promoting or soliciting or saying harmful things to any community that harms people, then I don't respect it. I don't condone it." He's kind of coming down here now on Kyrie Irving. I want to just read this to our listeners. Then says James also referenced his media company, his media company's uninterrupted decision to spike an episode on the show called The Shop, featuring Kanye West. And he says, and LeBron says, "part of the reasons why I didn't add The Shop episode, why we kicked that out of the archives," he said, "because it was hate conversation going on there. And I don't represent that. There's no place in this world for it. Nobody can benefit from that. And I believe that Kyrie did cause harm to a lot of people." Now, I'm going to stop right here from the article. Now, think about what we just said, of what I started off with talking about history. LeBron James obviously has no knowledge of history. If he had a knowledge of history, he wouldn't make this statement. Yeah, you see, but I'm just, and I was waiting on him to weigh in on it. I happened to read it, Dr. Rogers, while I was listening to you. And so he kind of came down on Kyrie Irving. And then there's another statement. The article is much longer. Irving's Nets teammate, Durant, he made a statement too. He says, Durant, I'm quoting Kevin Durant now, "I ain't here to judge nobody or talk down on the life or how they feel with their views and things. Durant said, I just didn't like anything that went on. I felt like it was all unnecessary. I felt like we could have just kept playing basketball and kept quiet as an organization.
You see,
that's
that,
Kevin
that's,
Durant.
That right there, Dr. Bridges, is what I'm saying, how history has to empower you.
And that's why I wanted to bring that in and let you respond to it, because that shows what you were saying, that you can't just look at YouTube and the social media, but you have to know the history. Go ahead, Dr. Rogers. You're right.
If you have any intensity in learning history, and you would look at what are many of our scholars who have written about urban development and urban decay, you will know that they have said over and over and over again, the Jewish people that moved into those communities and started running those shops in New York, Baltimore, Washington, Chicago, were creating some of the worst conditions for African-American people that ever lived.
That's right.
Anybody, you look at St. Clair Drake stuff, and look at Black Metropolis. Look at that. Even go back and listen. Look at Blighton. Christianity, Islam. He's talking about the combination of some of that in terms of the development. Everybody knows that the Hebraic culture that settled in the American coast came in to exploit. During my years of living in New York, all of what you see now is Arab stores and little stores like that exploiting. Those were Jewish stores. They sold cheap food, meat, made a fortune. Some of the biggest stores in New York, in Harlem, were Jewish. Bloomingdale's, where Martin Luther King got stabbed. There's a store, big department store called Bloomingdale's. I remember me and my wife used to have a count in there. Go in there and buy some bed sheets. Go in there and buy sheets and spread. You pay $120 for the seat, and they cost like 10. But the problem is you can get them on credit real quick. So if you need the seats right away, so we had a rising family, and my kids were getting big, and we needed some seats. You go and bloom things and get a credit, and get seats. But they exploited us. You know, big time, over and over again.
And like you said, not having a knowledge of history will make people like LeBron James now, who has come out, and Kevin Durant just came out and made a statement, you know, against Kyrie Irving and against Kanye West, but they don't know the history. They really don't know. Mm. And I guess we really shouldn't expect them to know. But as I said earlier, when you begin to study the history of Judaism, when you study the history of Hebrew life and law in Palestinian areas of the earth, Europeans went over into that part of the world, stole the land, and it became a state in 1948 under those so-called Jews. They weren't the Jews. The original Jews were black people.
Exactly
Israel
right.
became a state in 1948, in the same year that the apartheid system was set up in South Africa, just to give you an example of how Europeans were taking vast territories of land that were owned and controlled by black people or other people of color for their own and claiming them to be their own. And not only that, but they stepped into the history of the people as they did the so-called Jewish people in Palestine. And even in South Africa, the textbooks were rewritten in South Africa to say that white people were the first people on the lands of South Africa. Now, we know that's not the case, but they rewrote the textbooks and said that they were, meaning white people, were the original inhabitants of South Africa. But black folk were already there. But what they do is they step into people's history and take control of it as their own.
Exactly.
In the same way as they've stepped on the thrones as kings and queens of Scotland and Ireland and taken that particular culture and heritage as their own, when the original people, according to people like Boyd Dawkins and several other people, Ian MacNeil, the original people of England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales were dark-skinned people. people. But today, when you think of Scotch-Irish and English and Irish, I mean English and Welsh, you think of white people. But they have done it all around the world. And we allow them to do it because, as going back to Dr. Rogers' point before we end and maybe take some calls, going back to Dr. Rogers' point, you have to know and understand history. And if you don't, you are lost in this world.
A lot of the Jewish people that went into South Africa, they went over there and started companies where they're the ones that were making the ID cards to track the black South Africans from moving around freely. They were working on behalf of the South Africaners. They're the ones that went over there and created and started the manufacturing of machine guns.
That's right.
And I'm talking these were AK-47 killer machines that was coming out of Israel. That's who it was. And so you got to understand something when you talk about good and bad, you know, and what that means and what is it. You got, that's where you do your intense study. You know, we're not saying all Jews are bad. We're not saying all of them good, you know. It's saying is that you got to understand the history. You got to follow the money trail. They after the money.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever the money took them, that's what they did. And a lot of that was evil. What they did in Harlem is unbelievable. I used to have a Jewish landlord pay $46 a month rent over there in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn. They had rats walking around there looking like squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
They so good. And he wouldn't do nothing. He told me, he said he sell rat traps. He said he sell rat traps in his store. Come by and pick up a couple. That he told me that was the answer to it. So what am I supposed to say to that? Well, he didn't really mean that. He just said, well, how am I supposed to respond to that as a family man? The kids. Fred, one of them big old rats, bite my kids. So, but anyway. Brother George, you
all right? Well, yeah. I do want to apologize. I got knocked off the line. I do want to slide over to Slido, slido.com. The number is 597-6552, and here's the comment, Dr. Rogers and Dr. Bruce. How do we address the problem of the past being altered to include groups who do what they are given credit for and actually done by black people? Let me try it again. How do we address the problem of the past being altered to include groups who don't do what they are given credit for that are actually done by black people? Y'all want to take that?
Go ahead, Dr.
You want to take a shot at that? I can come back behind you.
All right. How
do we address the problem of the past that's being altered to include groups who didn't do what they're given credit for that are actually done by black people, by our people? How do we address that problem of the history being altered?
I think that's where some
you got to do it like Woodson did. You got to create your own material. That's why he started the Association of Publishers. What's the name of that organization? That Association of
Afro-American Life and History.
Yeah, no, not that one. The publishing.
Associated Publishers.
Associated Publishers. That's how you do it.
Right.
Create your own stuff. I think one of the last conversations we had when we were talking about him is one of the things that Woodson was doing. He was in his latter years. He was trying to start a textbook publishing company, and he had hooked up with his sister. That was one of the last sessions we talked about, and then had even reached out to Du Bois to come up with they were going to publish textbooks for kids in all grade levels, because see, it's okay to teach the history, but you got to have the resources there too, and you have to be intense enough to make sure that they study, and then not only intense enough, but you got to be able to teach the teachers who are going to teach from the books. That's work. That's the way other publishers do it. And one of the things that the Association Study African-American Life and History Convention in Montgomery, the biggest part of what was going on there was book publishers companies were there trying to, number one, buy texts from any of the scholars that might want to, you know, publish through their companies. They were there. Tables always, and they've always been there. Tables full of them, and they'll take your transcript, they'll take your material and see what they can do with it. And also a lot of the European, you're not European, the Caucasian universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Duke, all of them were there to hire black scholars. That's another thing, and so that changes the mindset. That creates another different mind frame when you can do that. So you cover the publishing and you cover the teaching. And then you could, at that point, you can go to work.
That's right. And I really wish.
Is we've got to create our system like that. You know?
Like Dr. Rogers said, too, I really wish that our people who are in positions of influence and who are in positions where they're in the public eye and have influence over people's minds and what people do, I'm trying to stay on that same theme, if they have a knowledge of history and what to say and when to say, or just keep their mouths closed. Some of these athletes and entertainers, really, in my opinion, they should just keep their mouths closed until they begin to learn what to say and what not to say. Barkley sometimes should keep his mouth closed. Shaquille O'Neal should definitely keep his mouth closed, you see, because they have not been taught. And that's another thing Dr. Rogers was talking about, teachers. Teachers and preachers and other people who have a platform have to study and learn, and as the scripture says, show themselves approved, and also they have to have the confidence and the courage to stand up and speak out in the way of truth. They talk about Jesus, and they talk about the strength of Jesus and how they love Jesus, but are they trying to imitate Jesus and stand up as Jesus stood up against the Roman principalities and against evil and against corruption in high places? Why don't they stand up like Jesus? If they love Jesus, you should stand up like Jesus, you see. And so that's what I think. But anyway, I'm through, Brother Mom, because I know you got some people on the phone line who want to talk.
Yeah. Great point. All right, let's go to the lines, Dr. Rogers and Dr. Bruce and Brother George. Let's start off with 0673. 0673, you're up, you're live, and you're on, Dr. Rogers, Dr. Bruce, Brother George, and myself. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I just got a comment based on the question that was asked. When people claim your culture is not there, when you talk about the Jews, the top of the ladder is Abraham. You're not gonna find none before him. So just read your Bible. I think the Bible is Jewish folklore. It's based upon the cosmos. But if you want to take a literary, which I don't, you want to take a literary, you go to Genesis 12:10, and it tells you the people ain't got no culture until they get to Egypt. So you always research it. And also the statement that LeBron James made, I wanted to see, actually know what Kyrie Irving said, because a lot of times people use what you call a straw man argument, an artificial argument. The press will say one thing, but the media grabs something else, but they have distorted it. So I wish that when LeBron James said that he disagreed with whatever Kyrie said, that he would say what Kyrie said, because I haven't heard yet what Kyrie said. I just heard that he had sent some text about some video, and then they put the microphone in front of him and asked him to comment on it. And from that point, I thought he was silent. So a lot of times people need to research stuff. They need to research the origin of things, like the Bible, and they need to research the origin of a statement made to see if that person actually said what people say the person says. That's all I have to be.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. We got another Slido in, and it says Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9 says there are people saying that they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. it's there for a reason. So thank you, Slido. Y'all chiming in real good today. And somebody else said, what exactly did Kyrie Irving say? So do we know what he said, Dr. Rogers, Dr. Bruce? Brother George?
Brother Marvin, if you just to chime in here for a minute, you got an 8502 on the phone I think you need to get to. He's seen it and knows about it. Have you gotten it? You see his number on your line?
Yeah, got him on the line. He's next up.
Let that brother come in then and tell us what Kyrie actually said. I think that'd be good.
Okay. We got some background noise in the line. Let's see if we can clear it up. All right, 8502, you're up.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers, Dr. Bridges, Brother George, and Brother Marvin.
Brother Lush, how you
doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. First, before I start with Kyrie, I just want to make another comment about what Brother George was talking about, Bessie Coleman, one of my personal heroes.
Yes.
She was not allowed to, she wanted to take flying lessons, but nobody in this country would let her come to that flying school, so she had to go to France.
Right.
So she worked during the day and went to school at night to learn how to speak French. And then she took a boat to France by herself, and she was the only black person on the boat. And she studied at French school with all white people. She was there all by herself. And whatnot. And her goal was not just to be an aviator. It was to start a school to teach other people to fly. So, you know, when you talk about inspiration, you know. But on to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving didn't say anything. He viewed a film called Hebrews to Negroes that was published in around 2018 by a brother named Ronald Dalton, and he referenced that book on his social media, TikTok or something, whatever. And there's some things in that book, in that movie, that they consider to be anti-Semitic. So for that, because he referenced the book, that's why they came. They said they want him to apologize and all this other stuff. But the book is still on Amazon, and they haven't told Jeff Bezos to take it off. You know, they haven't threatened him.
How about that?
But, you know, for his, you know, and giving credit to Kai, he did pretty much stand up for himself. You know, he talked about nobody's talking about the millions of dead bodies of my ancestors in this country.
Right.
He said, no, you know, when I was a child and I didn't understand these things and whatnot, and I heard people say that if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. I never understood that. He said, why you would say something like that? He said, but I'm not a child no more. And I'm proud of who I am. He said, I used to be afraid to talk to y'all, but I'm not afraid to talk to you anymore because I know who I am and I'm proud of who I am. And he said, so when you talk about you want me to apologize for things, there's other people who have done some suffering, you know, but they wouldn't listen to it. They didn't want to hear anything else but making him apologize. But he never actually apologized because he said, I didn't write the movie. I just saw it and referenced it. He said, I didn't put what was in there. He said, but I put it and I referenced it. He said, some of the things might have been unfortunate, but I didn't do it.
Right.
But, Dr. Rogers, I sent you an email with, it's only about 10 minutes. And I sent it to you too, Bruce.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I wanted to get you on, because I knew you could clear it up in terms of what Kyrie actually said. I hadn't heard it, and Dr. Rice hadn't heard it. So that's
he didn't say anything. He viewed the film, and he referenced it on his social media about it. Hebrews to Negroes. They got it on Amazon. I think you can rent it for $12 or something, but if you want to buy it, actually, you got to pay it's around $48 or $49, something like that. So no one has actually said what exactly was in the film or whatever. And the question is, it's not libel or it's not slander if it's the truth.
Right.
Dr. Clark used to say all the time, Dr. John Henry Clark, to the Jews, I didn't participate in your Holocaust. You participated in mine.
Mm.
And so when we look at, you can look at some right here in this country, the Confederacy, the Jews that was helping the Confederates, Judah P. Benjamin and David Levy Yulee and Moses Ezekiel and whatnot. Is anybody going to apologize for what they did? Any Jews going to apologize for what they did? I had a friend who used to say, put history on the witness stand. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Brother Marvin. He must not be on, Brother George. You probably need to take over, brother.
Yes, sir. I think we need to continue, you know, on that discussion mode because I don't have control of the lines. But
I got you. Yeah, Brother
Man,
Marvin,
I'm back in. I don't know. I'm just telling y'all,
he's
right?
In
my
out.
Phone line don't drop like this, but I couldn't call back in. So I don't know if this the power that be, but I'm back on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go on, brother. Thank you for calling.
Brother Marvin, I just like to add,
yes, sir.
You know, that Kyrie Irving refused to take that vaccine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he stood strong against that vaccine. So there may be a lot of other issues with his self-knowledge that's causing problems.
You know, that's true.
I noticed it in the video where they was questioning him when he like kind of reached up and scratched his face. He had a ring on in the shape of an arm.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there may be some self-awareness that these people are not appreciating.
Hmm.
My aunt used to say, you know, what's your real trouble?
Hmm. All right, brother. Well, we're gonna hold it right there. See if
okay.
We can take another call. But we appreciate you stopping by. Appreciate your comments always. All right. Let's go on over to 5347. You're on deck and you're live and you're next. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, how you guys?
5347.
Brother?
Hey, welcome
doing
to the show.
Hey, my
it's
brother.
Been
a minute, brother. Glad to hear you guys again. All right. How you doing, brother?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, this is Brother Rich. I'm glad you recognize me. I'd like to just expound on something Brother George was saying a minute ago about that, about it's not easy holding on to the work that some of us have had to do with the knowledge and the work that we're doing in our communities, the work that others have had to do with what we're doing, with the knowledge that we have and the crucial things that we face and have faced doing it. I'm listening to you guys today with what you're talking about and the political aspect and the historical aspects of the things that we're going through. And it's just... Just what you guys are discussing today, brothers, we just really just got to bear down and try to just
keep this information in our communities and in our homes and in our lives of what we're having to do. Brothers like Kyrie and LeBron and Mike and all the rest of them, brothers, they just don't know. And I've been facing, like myself, with in a real political battle here with what's going on in my community right now. And I got brothers and sisters right in front of me that sitting on the board and involved in the issues that I'm dealing with. And I'm looking at them with coming right from the community, brothers. And I hate to say it, man, but I'm getting more out of the white people, man, with the political movements of what I need. And I'm sitting there with the brothers right in front of me and, like, bringing Brother Bruce there, talking about the cultural disparities of what I need and have to deal with in my community. And I got the brothers and sisters fighting against me of what I got to get done there. And then I can sit there and have to deal with a white man politically to back me on something. And it can take a lot out of you, bro. You know what I mean? And then you got to sit there and say, for instance, like what Kyrie or LeBron and them doing, and they're talking about the history of who a Jew really is or what they're really about. Don't even know it's them, you know. And then, you know, it's painful to you, bro, when you got to deal with this in front of you, man, and you knowing this. And what we need is I got to have more of what you guys are talking about in this community. And I like what Dr. Rogers said. We created something called a Circle of Hope. And the first thing in there is an old gym. And we're going to bring workshops, lectures, and seminars there. And I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to have this conversation. I'm going to have Dr. George, Dr. Bruce, and you, Dr. Marvin. We're going to pump this information into this community if I got to die trying. I've had an aneurysm, a stroke, it left me blind. But, brother, I'm going to have you guys' information in this community. If I got to sell chicken sandwiches and whatever, I'm going to have you guys down for lectures or whatever I got to do. This information going to come into my community one way or another, bro. And like I said, man, I'm getting ready to go to California for 6 weeks because I'm burnt out from the work I've been doing. And Bruce knows, like I said, I was left blind. They told me I would be paralyzed from my neck down. I had an aneurysm. I bled for 4 days from my brain. But, brother, I have not quit the work. So what you guys doing is the best thing that I know of in America right now. So we just got to keep up with what we're doing here. And this is the salvation for our people. I'm sure there might be some others in America, but this is the foundation is what you guys are doing. And this is what we got to keep up if all of us got to die trying. So that's all I got to say today, bro. This is my observation of what you're doing.
I love it.
Going.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's, you know, true. Now, that's when you talk about empowerment.
Thanks, Brother Ridge. Absolutely.
No, thank you.
That's what you've been talking about the whole time.
Yep.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Thanks, Brother Ridge. Dr. Rogers, you've been talking about empowerment the whole time today, so you're
exactly right.
That's what
you're doing. You're providing the platform and the stage to do what we talk about doing and interact with each other on that level and encourage and suggest. You know, you got to do it. That's the only way it works, you know. And you know, regardless of what you say, the best model of that in Black America is the Black church.
True.
I don't think that's a person sitting here would not agree with me. It may not be what you want to hear today, but that's the best model. And they grow.
And it's worked.
Even Marcus Garvey recognized that. Garvey, when he started UNIA, he started a Black church. Because he said, you're going to need that. You're going to need to have that. And it was called the African Baptist something to that effect. And so a lot of times you see these Baptist churches that got that name, the African Baptist something, that came from Marcus Garvey. Look it up. He hired a bishop. He ran the church, and they used it as a platform to garner ideas from a spiritual realm. You know, it wasn't about no choirs and all that stuff. You know, it was about work in the black community.
I like that. I like it. All right, let's get back to the lines. We're going over to 4953. 4953, you're next. You're alive. Got Dr. Bruce and Brother George and Dr. Rogers. Got a question or comment?
Well, somebody said that LeBron and them should be quiet. I've heard the voice. My name's Pianki, and I don't know if he's still around or not. Pardon me?
Yeah, Dr. Bruce and Dr. Rogers are on the line.
Yeah,
question or comment?
I heard it. I know what he's saying. I know it, but I've chosen not to talk about that whole thing. Especially any time I hear one of those
generals.
Then I know I got a problem.
Here's the thing. Those athletes need to go ahead and make their money. Because what they're trying to talk about is not accurate. Many people is putting stuff out that's not accurate. Like what I heard somebody make mention about Abraham. That was no Abraham historically. They talk about Hebrews. You got a book out called Hebrews, Black Man. Hebrew was meant to cross over the Tigris and Euphrates River.
That's
this
right,
thing
bro,
about
that's
anti-Semitic.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Semite is a language. It's Berber. It's Cushitic. Cushitic with a K, not a C, because the Ham story was made by some Jewish rabbis at the Council of Jambia in 70 A.D. So this stuff is just on that completely out of control. You made mention about John Henry Clark. John Henry Clark was a very good historian. And you know one thing that he said that Castro was a Jew, was a Christian by day and a Jew by night. He was a Marengo. We confuse, and they do it intentionally. They're intermingling the religion of Jews and the club of Jews, the business club. And that's what you have. You have a religion. Those who follow the religion of Judaism, even Sammy Davis Jr. was a Jew. But you got the club, which is a group of people just like the Mormons, just like the Tuba, who's here in the United States, that come from Senegal, that's doing business. They are clubs. And we have to look at it like that. You had a club of quotes that was members of the Jewish religion that formed Hollywood. And they get beat all the time. Who controlled the garment industry in New York? It's Asians. How did they get it? They took it from the Jews. You're talking about business. So no, LeBron and these athletes should take a page from Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan said that Republicans buy Hanes too, he was absolutely right. When you're in those tedious positions, you don't want to do anything that's going to hurt your money stream because, believe me, they would try to do that. When you have these news medias want to put a microphone in your face, you should go to talking about your high school years and stay off the politics and stay off the religion. That's the wise thing to do because you need to go ahead and make the money. Then once you made the money, then you can do whatever you want to. You know, some good books. Get the book, Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, that was put out by the Nation of Islam. That tells a lot of the truth, because it is true what these things happen. It's not that history needs to be put on the witness stand. History needs to be cross-examined. Because there's always two sides to the coin that you never hear about. And you know, during 1995, the Million Man March, you had Abraham Foxman, who was the head of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, who told black preachers not to let their congregation go to the Million Man March. So what do you call that? As I said before, don't get caught up with this stuff about anti-Semite because that's what they use. If it's working, they're going to use it. Semite is a language group.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
We're getting short on time, so I got to hold you right there, but I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, sir. All right, Dr. Bruce, Dr. Rogers, you want to take that, and then we got to start winding down.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one comment, and this can be my last comment, too. I understood what that brother was saying. Go ahead and make the money. That's one thing. But my question is, when in the hell do black people make enough money when they can stand up as men and women in the world and have some significance influence on their own society, their own community? When do, we always say make the money, but when do we ever get to a damn point that we can stand up like men and women in this world? Have we never, do we, because that's how we always say, make the money, make the money. But we've been saying that, but if we keep saying that, as Dr. Rogers said, we will never do anything. You see, you have to take a stand at some point.
The only time that history reports that is when black men and black women would take that smut and put on their face and their lips and dance around like silly white people, and they would get paid. That's what Burke Williams made. He made $6,000, I think, a performance, dancing for the Ziegfeld Follies. But he had to blacken his face, widen his lips, and act like a fool. And he got
that's right, but Dr. Rod, we got to, if we're going to be men and women in the world, as Marcus Garvey might say, we have to stand up like men and women and don't let money keep us from standing up like men. I understand what the brother's
right.
saying, but when do you get to the point? That's all I'm saying. I'm tired of waiting.
Yep.
I heard that. All right, final comments. We are the other brothers. Hey, it's been a great show. Dr. Rogers, thank you for coming on. Dr. Bruce, y'all tag-teamed it really well. Thank you for joining us via Slido.
Yes, sir.
About 3 minutes left. Let's get some closing comments. And again, thank you so much for joining us, listeners. Dr. Rogers, we'll start with you, and then we'll close.
If I could, I'd like to say something real quick.
Go ahead.
What I see right
you got
now,
it?
what we need in our community, what's beckoning us is we need the no bookstore. We need resources. We need some resources where we can pass it on to young folk, old folk, you know, wherever, about the history and life of our people. We need to have that, you know, with some kind of indication how it works. I mean, even if we create a bibliography, sort of like an annotated bibliography of the top 50 books for African Americans. Got a man sitting on the phone now that controlled a whole system like that. So that's the thought I wanted to leave with.
All right, let's bring that bookstore back. How about that, Dr. Bruce?
If the people are ready, I'm ready. But my question is, are the people
ready?
We talk, as I said before, brother said, we got to have money, got to do this, all these excuses. But anyway,
we got to find out. Put your money
that's
away.
Right.
All right. We got to do something. If we got to sell chicken dinners. If we got
to
sell chicken dinners.
Who did that? Who sold chicken dinners? And sweet potato pies.
Got to get back to the old ways, y'all.
Yeah.
Got to get back
to
the old ways. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Rogers. Final comments,
sir.
Dr. Bruce, anything else?
No, brother. I'll see you next week.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Bruce. Dr. Rogers, thank you so much, and be safe on your flight, Brother George.
Okay, thank you. Take care, boy.
Good. All right. Well, I guess it's left up to me, so I'm going to wrap it up like this. Go ahead, Brother George.
I said I just enjoyed the show. I thought it was very encouraging and mind-provoking, and I enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Great segment today. And finally, as we close today, I want to thank you, the listeners, for joining us. This is the only way that we can grow. We got to educate ourselves. Knowledge is power. And the more knowledge you have, the more power that you can assume to make changes in your community, in your life, in your family, and in your home. Lastly, but not least, said, study. Study incessantly. If you can be incessant, if you can strive, you can push, things will change. Until next week, tell a friend. It's empowerment. African-American empowerment, 365 days. Motivation and personal empowerment. That's an empowerment, Dr. Rogers, just for y'all. Stay with y'all. Peace and blessings.